Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on Sticks In, it is a positive Friday, and we are in the absolute best part of the lacrosse calendar. We have the quarterfinals on tap this weekend in the NLL, four games there, following a wild end to the regular season. And then we have the last weekend of regular season college lacrosse. In some cases, we have some conference tournaments even getting underway this weekend. So we have a very exciting slate full of all sorts of scenarios and ways that these conference tournaments can shake out. We will get into all that today. Thank you again for coming back and listening. Please do leave a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Let's do it. Welcome back to Sticks In. My name is Dan Arestia. I'm glad you're here. Today is Friday, positive Friday. We have an absolutely packed schedule. We don't want to waste too much time here talking about nothing and not getting right into it. We're here for the lacrosse. Let's talk the lacrosse. I am going to try to thank you to whoever random person was on social media who told me that when I speak, I tend to trail off at the end of sentences and you can't hear what I'm saying and I need to enunciate better. Thank you for that. I will do my best. Anyway, we'll start in the NLL world. Playoffs get started this weekend. As we said there at the top, the quarterfinals in the NLL are single elimination games. Lose, you go home. It does not matter if an 8 beats a 1, you show up, you kind of have a bad day, whatever. The semis and the finals are best of 3. First round, there is no room for error. You show up unprepared, you make too many mental mistakes, your season is over. That is it. The games begin on Saturday. There's a Saturday triple header. First up is Rochester visiting Toronto. Hardly an easy assignment there. Rochester, you know, they got in literally on the last game of the regular season. They needed to win 2 games over the last weekend. They did that. They needed losses from 4 different teams. They got those, so they are in. Their reward is a trip to play the best team in the league, the Rock. These two teams met on April 13th, so not that long ago. Toronto won that game 13-6. In terms of kind of recent form, Toronto has won 4 straight to close the regular season. Rochester, as we noted, look, they dug deep in that last weekend because they came into that last weekend on a losing streak. I think it was a 3-game skid, something like that. And so they won back-to-back games desperation style just to get themselves into the playoffs. And for a team that was defined by their offense all year, they got into the playoffs with some outstanding defensive play. They gave up just 3 goals to Philly in that clinching game, that last game of the season. 3 in a lacrosse game. It's insane. I think a big part of this is the return of Rylan Hartley for them in goal. It's been a massive boost to them. He played out of his mind in that last game. The Hawks have had no issues in terms of scoring goals this year. If you've heard me talk about them, you've read the weekly primers for the NLL, you know my thing with this team is, look, man, they're trying to score goals. They have weapons galore. They want to win games, or it felt like for most of the season, they were trying to win games like 16-13, 16-14, those kind of score lines. Connor Fields, Ryan Smith, Ryan Lanchberry, a tremendous trio. Thomas McConvey's in there. Of course, he deserves to be in there, too. He's probably going to be in the Rookie of the Year. I don't think he's going to win it, but he'll be in the Rookie of the Year discussion for sure. Rylan Hartley's play could point towards potential goalie war here. I think Nick Rose, the Toronto goalie, he's going to be in the MVP race for sure. I think he has a legit shot to win it. He won the goalie triple crown. He led the league in wins, save percentage, and goals against. Made 711 stops this year. That's only behind Zach Higgins and Christian DelBianco. A game that comes down to defense, I think, favors Toronto. I think Toronto would have the better of that style of game. I don't know if you want to get risky, though, and try and attack, because that defensive unit for Toronto, I think it's the best in the league, but they're also just so good going defense to offense. They're so good in transition. Guys like Rogers, like when they're moving, it's tough to deal with them. There's a three-goal spread in this game. Toronto's a three-goal favorite. That's about as big as it gets, indoor or outdoor pro lacrosse. 3.5 goals is as big as you'll ever really see. But I don't know. The Rock look like a team of destiny this year, man. So that's the first game of the weekend. The second game is, if you're looking to watch one, I think this is maybe the one that I would watch because I think it's going to have the best atmosphere. It's Saturday. It's in prime time, man. It's at 7 o'clock. Buffalo and Georgia. The Bandits won 4 straight to end the regular season. They've won 6 of their last 7. I think the Connor Farrell and Paul Dawson additions for them have been outstanding, truly difference-making for that roster. That run over the end of the year, it includes some wins over some bottom feeders, okay, some bottom-of-the-standing kind of teams, but they got a win over Toronto in there too. I think the real edge Buffalo has here is that this is a game in Buffalo. Bandit Land is going to be rocking. Could be a sellout crowd. They sold out the regular season finale. That crowd in the last game was 19,000 plus. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case again this week. Can Georgia overcome that? They did once already this season. Georgia went into Bandit Land and won 9-8, low scoring game, in front of a crowd of nearly 17,000, but that's back in December at this point. So a lot has happened since then. The Swarm are in pretty good form down the stretch. They won 4 of their last 6. I think there's some great balance to this Georgia offense. 3 different players on this team have more than 80 points. Rochester is the same kind of thing. They have 5 players with 50-plus points. There's only 3 other teams this year with 3 different players that have 80-plus points. Buffalo, I mean, obviously the offense is loaded. We all know it. They have the league's leading scorer in Josh Byrne, who's going to be an MVP guy. They have the only man in history to record 100 assists in a regular season, which he did this year in Dane Smith, also going to be in the MVP convo. It's a lot to handle. It is a lot to handle. Brett Dobson in net for Georgia is going to have to be on his game. It doesn't feel like we're going to have another 9-8 scoreline in this one. But I think this is the game I'm most excited for. I think you turn on the TV and you turn on a game that's in Bandit Land when it's this kind of game, a playoff atmosphere kind of game, and you just see what that building is doing and you're just like, man, this is the pinnacle. This is what pro lacrosse aspires to be like, is this atmosphere all the time. I think there's top tier talent on both squads on top of that. There might be some sneaky upset potential here. Can Georgia hang? I don't know. They have the horses, man. If you got Lyle Thompson on your roster, Shane Jackson, you got a great goalie in Dobson, you have the ingredients. That's a tough ask, though, to go into Bandit Land and win. So that game is going to be great. I'm most excited, I think, to watch that one this weekend. Third quarterfinal is the Lax After Dark game on Saturday. This is Saturday. I think it's like a 10 o'clock start if you're in the Eastern time zone like I am. Panther City is visiting San Diego. Seals are the 2 seed. Panther City is the 7. Panther City's in a rough spot here. They put the news out this week. Jonathan Donville is on IR, upper body injury, will not be available. They said indefinitely, but indefinitely, it doesn't matter. The season's got, as of right now, the season's got 1 more game in it. That's how long he's out for this game. That's the way you really have to think about it. Donville had 79 points this year. Third on that team in scoring. He is a key weapon on the righty side of this offense. Absolutely key weapon. Going without him means their second highest assist scorer this year isn't in the lineup. It means the pressure on guys like Will Malcolm and the ageless Callum Crawford will be increased to carry this offense, to carry the load. But it also turns up the pressure on the defense. Because without Donville, Panther City can't just shoot their way back into a game if they go down. They don't have the horses. Panther City played San Diego twice this year. The Seals won both times. In the first game, Nick DeMood, 85.5%, surrendered just 10 goals. Second game, the one more recently, gave up 14 goals, 74%. For Panther City to make the upset, they need DeMood to be the game one DeMood, the 85% DeMood, and they're just going to need big moments from guys like Jason Knox, Phil Caputo, to try and pick up the slack without Donville in the lineup. Is it possible? Sure. Sure. San Diego has felt like a team that's destined for the finals in the past and has not been there. So this is kind of the moment where you wonder, are they going to turn it up, or are they going to turn into the San Diego playoff team that can't quite get over the hump? San Diego has the added motivation of Brody Merrill coming out of retirement for them this year to try and get himself a ring. I will never, ever, ever chastise someone for rig chasing. But it's an interesting one for San Diego to kind of exercise these demons and get themselves to the finals, just to get to the finals. I think the upset is possible. I do not think it is likely, though. It's not the kind of thing I would bet on, I'll say that. I believe this one is also like a 2.5 goal spread. And when you get more than 1.5 in a pro lacrosse game, it means the odds makers think it's not going to be that close of a game. So San Diego is 2.5 goal favorite in that one. That'll be good. That's a little lax after dark. And why not? You should stay up for that. If you stay up to watch Utah at 8 o'clock in the college ranks, or you watch Buffalo, just take it right into this one. It'll be the only game in town. The last game is a Sunday game, Albany and Halifax. These teams met once this year, but it was way back in January. So it's like, can you glean anything from a game in January at this point, from a game that's, 4 months ago, 3 months ago? I think at that point we were still figuring out that Albany is in fact for real. We didn't even know that when they played the first time. And they beat Halifax at home in that one. Again, it feels like ancient history. Albany has found their familiar rhythm a little bit in the last game of the regular season. They put up 16 goals on New York. Great. Make no mistake, their recent form has not been great. They lost 5 in a row before that New York game. 4 of those losses are 500-ish kind of teams at best. And at the time of those games, that offense was hurting. They were struggling. They were putting up 7-8 goals in a game. It was not what we saw early in the year. Halifax closed the season with a win over Colorado, but they've been a little up and down in this back half of the year. They didn't win or lose 2 games in a row from week 15 onward for like a month and a half. They just win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. And their losses in that stretch, it's not like they're horrible. Their losses in that stretch from week 15 to the end of the year, their losses are San Diego, Toronto, and red-hot Vancouver. All of those on the road. Halifax 4-5 on the road this year. Sub 500 on the road. 3 of those 4 wins are on the road, were against non-playoff teams. And the 4th is Rochester, who barely got in. This will be a popular one to pick for the lower seed win. If you're looking for the upset seekers, this is where Halifax is the 6th seed. Albany's the 3. Albany's plus 1.5, a terrible value. Halifax, I mean, they are a dangerous 6th seed for sure. They are. Albany's recent form scares me a little bit, and they are young. They are young. Kurtz and Simmons are going to be 2 of the top 3 probably in Rookie of the Year voting. But there's the old saying that young teams play young in the playoffs. Inexperience hurts in a big way in the playoffs. I'm going to take the battle-tested and much more experienced Thunderbirds and pick Halifax, but that could be a good one on Sunday. That's the pro game. Let's get into the college games while we're doing it. These are basically playoff games too. Basically all of these games at this point, just about all of them, have some kind of impact on conference tournaments. Big Ten tournament, the MAC tournament. Those fields are set. Those even get started this weekend. Everyone else is still getting their field for their conference tournament locked up. Some leagues, like the ASUN, the Patriot League, have a ton of outcomes that are possible. Patriot League has 16 different ways the seeding can go. Army can be the 1 seed. They can be the 6 seed in a 16 field. It's wild. If you are looking for a a scenario by scenario breakdown for each conference. That is up at sticksandlacrosse.com if you want that. I go through every conference and I tell you, if these teams win, here's the seeds. If these teams win, here's the seeds. So if you want to, I will try and do my best and update it as the weekend goes on. So like as wins and losses happen in real time, I'll just strike through the ones that can't happen anymore and narrow it down to what's still possible. So you can try and follow it in real time if you would like. But if you want to know how your team's conference tournament is going to go, I have every scenario laid out there for you. That's at sticksandlacrosse.com. Here's the slate, I guess, for the final weekend. We'll do some of the conference scenario stuff as we go, but we'll start with today's games. There's several games here today on Friday. Again, all with exciting potential. First up is Monmouth and Drexel. Drexel's a two-goal favorite here. What's at stake in this one is the four seed in the CAA tournament. Monmouth gets the four seed if they win and Hofstra loses. Drexel gets the four seed if they win and Stony Brook loses. Basically, there's the CAA field is set. There's three teams that are locked in, and the four spot is open. Four teams are playing for that last spot this weekend. None of them are winning in. All of them need to win, and somebody loses. So it'll be a fun weekend in the CAA. All four teams have a scenario to get that last spot. They all involve a win and a specific loss. Monmouth has lost their last two. They got roughed up pretty good by Towson last week. Drexel has been cold. They lost to Delaware a week ago. I'm inclined to just kind of take the goals. I'm kind of feeling a rock fight in this one. So I'm going to take Monmouth here. It's going to be Monmouth plus two. And I won't even begin to try and think about if they make the tournament or not. High Point and UMass. UMass favored by 1.5 at plus money. They are on the road at High Point. Winner of this game gets the three seed in the A-10 tournament, which UMass is hosting this year. Loser is the four seed. That's all that's at stake here. Neither High Point nor UMass can be anything other than the three or the four. Winner's the three, loser's the four. So if you win this game, you're going to play the loser of St. Joe's Richmond. I don't know what that means or what you would rather have happen. It's hard to tell. High Point beat Hobart by a goal last week. They hung with Richmond the week before. They've been a tough read because they've been kind of inconsistent. UMass played Richmond to a two-goal game last week. I think it's hard to pick against UMass this time of year. This is when Greg Cannella teams just get grittier than everybody else. This game is even on the money line. I'm going to take UMass in this one and count on some very big play from goaltender Matt Note and say UMass wins and gets the three seed. Colgate and BU. The Patriot League is insane. Four teams are 5-2. Two teams are 4-3. Those six teams are the tournament field. It can go, as I said, it can go 16 different ways for who's where. I'm not going to get into all 16 on the podcast. I mean, you would 100% tune out immediately if I started doing this team wins, this team wins, this team wins, this team wins. These are the seeds. They lose. It's a nightmare. I will try and keep it simplified for the games as we go here. If Colgate wins, they are at worst the three seed and at best the one. If Colgate loses, they are at best the four seed, at worst the six. So if they win, they're a top three seed. If they lose, they're a bottom three seed. BU, if they lose, they are the six seed, locked up. If BU wins, they're either the three or the four. Colgate, 1.5 goal underdog here. They beat Holy Cross last week. BU's lost three straight. Three tough ones straight. I said it last week, and I'm not going to stray from it for the rest of 2024. I'm just going to take the goals without thinking in every Patriot League game the rest of the way. So Colgate plus 1.5 is my pick. Loyola Army, more insane Patriot League games. The basics here, if Loyola wins, they are either the one or the two. If Army wins, they are either the one or the two. Colgate loses, they'll be between 4-6. Army loses, they can be either the three or the four. Loyola is a three-goal underdog here at home. They have won five in a row. They really have done well in conference play. Army beat Bucknell last week. They knocked off Navy before that. Army has not been a great play against the spread, though. It's the Patriot League. Give me the goals. Don't even think about it. Loyola, +3. Navy, Bucknell. Bucknell can't make the Patriot League tournament. They have been eliminated. Navy is still playing for seeding here. Navy can be at best the 3 seed, at worst the 6 seed. If they win, they can be at worst the 5 seed. Navy has lost 2 in a row to Army and Loyola. Bucknell's played some tight ones against good teams. They've also been blown out plenty. I mean, they have some young players on the offense, particularly in their midfield. They're exciting players, guys like Randolfo, Brunner. Those are really good players. But you're going to get some inconsistent performances when you count on basically freshmen to be big-time Dodgers for you. So, as always, Patriot League game. Give me the goals. Delaware Towson. This game determines the CAA regular season champ and the top seed in the tournament. Delaware is a 1.5 goal favorite at plus money. They've won 5 straight by a pretty solid margin. They've covered in 2 of their last 3. The other one in there was a push. And they're at home. Towson won 6 straight. Covered in their last 2 in blowout fashion. So something's got to give here. I started the year high on Delaware. I am not going to abandon the Hens now. I think this could go under one of those kind of games, but I like Delaware in this one. Look for Mike Robinson to have a big, possibly record-breaking goal-scoring kind of day. So give me Delaware here, minus the 1.5 plus money. Villanova and Georgetown, Big East seeding is on the line in this one. Denver has the 1 seed locked up. It cannot change. Georgetown is the 2 seed with a win, 3 seed with a loss. Nova is the 2 seed with a win, can be either 3 or 4 with a loss. But both these teams are in the Big East tournament. They're just playing for seeding. The Hoyas beat St. John's big last week on Senior Day. Their only loss since February 10th is a 2-goal loss to Denver 2 weeks ago. So they keep winning games. That said, Georgetown, in my estimation, and I think it sounds like from other people I'm talking to, and I saw Terry Foy's bracketology at Inside Lacrosse, Georgetown is a bubble team, man. If they don't win the Big East, they are a bubble team for the NCAA tournament. Their resume is good, but not locked up at large good. There's other teams who are going to be battling for those spots. Villanova has back-to-back wins against Marquette and St. John's. They've sort of run hot and cold this year. They had a 1-goal game against Monmouth, but they beat up Colgate. They play Yale close. You know, I don't know what you make of that. Georgetown very much wants to be on the win the Big East path. I think they play motivated to avoid the questions and try and get themselves a Big East title so that they can just lock that spot up, and seeding is going to be important for that. So I think Georgetown wins here. I'm going to take the Hoyas -4. St. John's Providence. The Johnnies can make the tournament, the Big East tournament, with a win. If they win, they can get the 4 spot ahead of Providence. They are not in great form, though. They've lost 3 straight by fairly wide margins. They're a 4-goal underdog. Providence played Denver to a 3-goal game a week ago, a 7-4 rock fight a week ago. They beat Marquette. They beat Nova. They've covered in 5 straight. I have really liked the look of the Friars over the last month. So I am going to take Providence here. -4. Kind of a big spread, but I'm going to take Providence -4. Lafayette and Lehigh. More Patriot League craziness. Lafayette cannot make the Patriot League tournament at this point. They are done. Lehigh is in the tournament. This game on its own does not put Lehigh in any particular seed. It comes down to all the other results plus this one, as it does for everybody. Lehigh will be win or lose, Lehigh is going to be between 2 and 4. They cannot be higher than 2. They cannot be lower than 4. Lafayette beat BU and Lemoyne in their last 2 games. Lehigh's won 3 straight. And good, I mean, Holy Cross, whatever. But Colgate and BU in the other 2. So the Eagles are hot. And they're all close games. It's a sign for this team that, you know, with some younger guys in some spots for them and a new coach, there's something to be said for learning how to win games. And I think Lehigh has done that at this point with these last 3 games. That said, I will not break my Patriot League rule. Give me Lafayette +2.5. Give me the goals. Denver and Marquette. In terms of the Big East tournament, as we said, this game can't do anything. Denver has a lock on the 1 seed. Marquette cannot make the Big East tournament. But there are still some motivators here. I am sure Marquette wants to avoid going winless in Big East play. They have some talent. Denver has played close rock fight type games of late. It would give me the impression that maybe they can be had. Marquette's a 6-goal underdog. Denver played a 7-4 game with Providence last week. Played a tight one with Georgetown before that. They played Nova tight. I'm going to take Marquette to cover in this one. Low-scoring affair. Give me the Eagles to cover. And that's just Friday. My goodness. Those are just the Friday games. What a weekend. Patriot League and Big East will have things all ironed out by the end of the Friday slate. So we will know if those are your conferences, that's where your favorite teams play. You'll know who's doing what in the postseason after Friday night. Saturday, everyone else doing their thing. We'll start it off with Bobby Moe and Air Force, Robert Morris and Air Force. Robert Morris is +5.5 in this one. They are playing for a spot in the ASUN tournament. Air Force will be somewhere between the 1 and the 3 seed, win or lose. Bobby Moe is win and in. They'll make the tournament if they can pull off the upset, basically. They can lose and still get in, but it would start being, we need some help, some of it of the spectacular variety. 5.5 goals is a lot. Air Force has been really good in conference play. Their first ASUN loss was a week ago in overtime to Jacksonville. Bobby Moe has won 2 straight by 1 goal to Queens and Lindenwood. 5.5 goals is a lot, but I just have not loved Robert Morris this year. I'm going to take Air Force, even with the big line. So give me Air Force there. Jacksonville-Bellarmine, both teams safely into the ASUN tournament. Seeding, though, is on the line. Like Air Force, Jacksonville will be between 1 and 3, win or lose. If they win, they can lock up a bye. That's pretty big. Bellarmine is the 4 seed in just about every scenario. They can't climb higher than 4. No bye at stake for them here. Bellarmine shook me last week, man. They lost big to Detroit Mercy. That was not something I saw coming. Bellarmine was an 8.5 goal favorite and lost outright by 8 goals. What? Jacksonville, on the other hand, has won 4 straight. A very good one last week against Air Force. I love the Jacksonville form right now. I think the Finns are playing really, really well. I'm going to take Jacksonville to win. I'm going to take Jacksonville to cover here as well. Bryant and the Mac, Merrimack. Bryant, a 7-goal favorite this weekend. 7 goals is a lot. Merrimack was in the news this week for all the reasons you do not want your lacrosse program to be in the news. They dismissed a player from their team because that player said some racist remarks to a indigenous member of Albany's team. Coach Marr, Scott Marr from Albany said it. I agree with him. Credit to Merrimack for swiftly taking action. That kind of thing happens. They had that kid off the team basically immediately. I think that's what you would want to see somebody do. I did see an article from Mark Singlace, who's a writer up in Albany, with Coach Marr, and Coach Marr saying he wants to bring this to, you know, the coaches' convention when they meet in December. He wants to keep this conversation around this kind of thing moving because he says it's just something they deal with far too often. You know, we all heard about it this time. It made the news this time. Doesn't mean we hear about it every time this kind of thing happens. So I'm all for that conversation continuing. I commend Coach Marr for keeping it moving that way. And I was obviously sad and disgusted to hear that kind of thing, that happened. You know, you just, no place for it in the sport at all. Anyway, Bryant, 7-goal favorite here. Bryant can still make the America East tournament. They are not a lock yet. With a loss, Bryant goes to 4-3. And I think they don't make the tournament then. With a win, depending on other results, I think they can still, unless I did this wrong, I think Bryant can still host. They could be the one. The America East, very intriguing right now. Bryant has won back-to-back games. They've won 5 of 6. That includes a win over Albany in there. Merrimack lost that game to Albany last week. 7 goals is a lot. Look, Bryant's winning the game. I don't want to pick Merrimack because of all that stuff, but I'm not gonna. Bryant, cover the 7 for me, would you? Give me Bryant. Detroit Mercy and Colgate, Detroit Mercy and Cleveland State. I can't read my own notes. Both teams are still alive for, but not locks for, the ASUN tournament right now. Detroit Mercy needs to win to stay alive. They're at 3-5. They can get in it with a 4-5 record in conference. But I think they will need some help. Cleveland State can still get in even if they lose here, but they would need some help from other games to do so. If the Cleveland State wins, they're in. Both these teams can only be the 5 or the 6 seed. They cannot climb higher than that. Basically, these two and Robert Morris results will determine which two of them make the tournament. Cleveland State's -2.5 in this one on the road. They've lost 2 in a row to top-tier ASUN competition, but they've handled the teams at the bottom of the standings. They also have that big win over Bobby Moe, which is going to matter this weekend. Detroit Mercy absolutely handled Bellarmine. Again, the most surprising results of the weekend for me last week was the Detroit Mercy score. Given that I can't pick against them here, I can't pick against the team that beat Bellarmine that bad and is now getting goals again. So give me the Titans. Give me Detroit Mercy +2.5. Playing hard for their coach who is leaving at the end of this season. And now, a classic. Always a classic. Duke, North Carolina. In every sport, it's fun. It's a rivalry that's always a good time. This year, on paper, it doesn't look great. Doesn't look like it'll be particularly close. But Saturday won't be on paper. As they say, it's why they play the games. Duke is -5.5 here. They beat the brakes off Virginia a week ago. Are you ready, by the way, for the Donowski has them playing well at the right time takes? Because those takes, they're getting perfectly ripe right about now. There are going to be a lot of those this weekend. You can feel it. Carolina has lost 5 in a row. They got waxed by Notre Dame last weekend. Their last 7 games have also all gone under. UNC can actually still make the ACC tournament if they win and if UVA wins. Those two things put UNC in. They could also get in if they win and Notre Dame wins. But if Notre Dame wins, UNC needs to win by a extremely wide margin to get a tiebreak. Basically, at that point, you'd have 3-1-3 teams, and the tiebreaker scenarios, you'd skip. There's a number of them that wouldn't break the tie, so it would come to goal differential against each other. And right now, I think Duke is at like +8, Virginia is at like +2, and Carolina is at like -6. So Carolina has to make up that massive difference in goals, basically. Beat Duke that badly, which I don't know. And look, even the ACC tournament, even if Carolina makes it, the ACC tournament, as we all know, does not have an AQ. I think even if Carolina pulls it off this weekend and gets in, and then they do, the magic continues and they win 2 ACC tournament games and win the ACC tournament, I still don't think they get in to the NCAA tournament. I really don't. I don't know. It would be a stretch to me, given the other teams that are going to be vying for those spots and the resumes they'll have. But I'm going to take Duke here anyway, -5.5. I don't even think it's going to come to that. See above comments on peaking at the right time. I've got Duke here beating up Carolina. Hampton and Fairfield. Fairfield's a 14-goal favorite here. There's nothing on the line in this game. Fairfield is locked into the 3 spot in the CAA tournament. There is nothing that can happen this weekend that can move them up or down. The win over Stony Brook last week delivered them into the 3 spot. Hampton, I hope we see some forward momentum with that program, you know, coming soon. It looks like it's going to be another winless year for them. I'm going to take them to cover here. They've covered some big lines this year. Fairfield maybe rests some of their top weapons since postseason position is secured and immovable. So I guess I'll take Hampton +14 in that one. Stony Brook and Hofstra, both teams still alive for the CAA 4 seed. That's the only available spot. 4 teams battling for that 1 spot in the CAA. Stony Brook needs a win and a Drexel win, and they get the 4 seed. Hofstra needs to win and have Monmouth win, and then they get the 4 seed. Seawolves -3.5 in this one. They lost to Fairfield last week. They lost to Delaware the week before. They've lost 6-7 and gone under in 6-7. It has been a rough second half for the Seawolves. Hofstra beat Hampton last week. They lost 3 in a row before that, though. I started the year with the take that Hofstra's better than people think and that they have some good talent. And the record does not really make a case that I was right. However, damn it, I stick to my principles. I am taking Hofstra plus the 3.5 in this game. Mercer and Lindenwood. Mercer's a 4-goal favorite here. This one is for pride. Neither team can make the A-Sun tournament. For Lindenwood, look, final game for them as a varsity program for now. And that hurts to say out loud, man. That sucks. For the program that just went D1 to get shuttered after everything, the long road it took to get there, particularly for their coach who's been with them since they were a club team, you know, it sucks. So Mercer, they needed 3 overtimes to beat Queens a week ago. I'm making a sentimental pick, man. Lindenwood is not going winless in their final D1 season. Give me Lindenwood. I don't even need the +4. Lindenwood money line, straight up. I'm not scared. Doing this one with my heart. Michigan, Ohio State. These two again? Didn't I just see you? You did. They played a week ago to close the regular season. This is a first round of the Big Ten tournament here. They play this week. This week they're at Michigan in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan won by a goal a week ago. Wolverines are +1.5 here, obviously at horrid value. The game is even on the money line. Ohio State's last 3 opponents are Maryland, Hopkins, and Michigan, and all 3 of those are 1-goal losses. Hopkins in overtime. Ugh, God, that hurts. Ohio State is so close to being such a dangerous, that like they're right there. I think if there's a Big Ten bid thief, it comes from this game. That's my gut telling me that. Ohio State's defense is good enough to win games, even though it hasn't actually really won that many. It's good enough to. It's got them right there. It's got them right there. I think in a game this close, I'm going to take the goals. I'm going to take Michigan +1.5, I think. But Ohio State, you want to see them just be on the right side of one of these games. Yale and Princeton. Yale's a 3-goal favorite here. With a win and a Cornell loss, Yale can host the Ivy League tournament. The Cornell loss is a long shot. Yale's spot in the Ivy League tournament is locked up. They can be anything from the 1 seed to the 3 seed. Yale has a 7-game win streak cooking after beating Albany and Hofstra last week. They played six games. They played 3 games in 6 days last week. So they got some, packed it in there. But they got a little bit of time here between the Albany game and this one. I think the position you want to watch here is face-off to see if Mac Rodriguez is healthy enough to go. If he isn't, or if you know, if Nick Ramsey's healthy enough to go, whatever the status of their face-off men is, if they don't have one of their regulars and they're figuring it out, you know, with freshmen or trying to see what they can do, Princeton's going to have the edge there with McMeekin, I would say. The Tigers are 3-goal dogs. They can still make the Ivy League tournament. With a win, they're the 2 seed. If they win the game, Princeton's the 2 seed. If they lose, they can be the 4 seed. If they lose and Brown wins, Princeton's missing the tournament and their season is over. So that makes this basically a playoff game for Princeton in my eyes. I'm going to take Princeton to battle in this one, even if Brando and the Yale offense still score a ton. So give me Princeton +3 here. Vermont and UMBC. The America East, as we said, they have some seeding scenarios to play for here. Vermont's in pretty good shape. They can be as high as the 2. If they lose, they can still make the tournament. They win and they're in. UMBC needs to win to get in, to be anything from the 2 to the 4. Vermont's a 1.5-goal favorite here. They have 1-2 straight, pretty solidly against Bryant 2 games ago. I think UVM's going to have the face-off edge here with Dodge. UMBC beat NJIT a week ago, which, you know, the Retrievers kind of seem to be feast or famine to me. I don't know. They nearly made that valiant comeback against Albany, I believe. They have fight in them, but I think the possession battle tilts UVM's way in this one, and so I'm going to take Vermont here to cover the 1.5. NJIT and UMass Lowell, no stakes. Both are winless in the America East. Neither one can make the America East tournament. Somebody's going to get a win in conference play, though. NJIT, it's crazy, man. They're winless in conference play, and they started the season 7-0. Insane. Highlanders are -7 here. I'm hammering it. For the last time this year, guys, there can be only one. NJIT, -7. UVA and Notre Dame. Notre Dame, whatever. UVA is a two-goal underdog here to the Irish. They've lost two in a row. UVA's lost back-to-back games. If they lose this game, it would be their first three-game losing streak in a decade. The last time they lost three straight was 2014. UVA is at home for this one, and I think that's going to help. You have to think Klockner's going to be jumping. In terms of the tournament, there really isn't too much to think about here. Notre Dame's going to be the one seed in the ACC tournament. They locked it up. Cuse is the two seed. They locked it up. UVA's the three or the four here. With no AQ, it's really just about bragging rights, I guess, seeding position for the big tournament. And both these teams are def going to the big tournament. So Notre Dame looks like a juggernaut right now. I'm taking the goals here. I saw Drew Brennan mention to me, in their last 32 games, Notre Dame has three losses. Two of them are Virginia. I'm going to take UVA here plus the two. Give me the Hoos for a game with basically no stakes and a weekend full of games with serious stakes. Somehow this is the game I'm like really excited to watch the most. So UVA plus two for me. Penn State Rutgers, another Big Ten replay from a week ago. Last week, Rutgers was a four-goal dog on the road. Penn State won and covered easily. This week, Penn State, again, four-and-a-half-goal favorite. Rutgers, four-and-a-half-goal dog here. I very much like the look of Penn State lately. Like Duke, they're good at putting it together here come April and May and finding ways to dig out these big games. Rutgers on the woof, man. Rutgers, geez. They closed the regular season losing four of their last five, including the regular season finale against Penn State, who they play now. They need to bid deep in the Big Ten if they want to go. They need to win the Big Ten. They're not making it any other way. I don't see it here. I'm taking Penn State to win. I'm taking Penn State to cover the 4.5. So give me the Nittany Lions in this one. Harvard and Brown. Harvard cannot make the Ivy League tournament. This will be their last game of the year. Brown, despite their 3-10 overall record, can make the Ivy League tournament. They have wins over Princeton, and they have a win over Dartmouth. With a win in this game and a Princeton loss, Bruno is the 4 seed in the Ivy League tournament. Maximum chaos. That's that outcome, is maximum chaos. Bruno's on the road here. Harvard can really just be spoiler. They can't make it, but they can keep Bruno out. The Crimson are going to have the best player on the field. That's going to be Sam King. The Crimson should have advantages in a number of spots. They're better than Brown at multiple positions. Of course, Princeton was too. Look how that went. Brown is plus 4.5. They're playing desperate ball. I'm going to take Bruno. Give me Brown plus 4.5 and maximum chaos. Dartmouth Cornell. Cornell's an 8.5 goal favorite on the road here against the Big Green. With a win, Cornell hosts the Ivy tournament. With a loss, they can still host, but then they need Yale to lose. If Yale and Cornell both lose, Cornell hosts. Cornell's going to be at worst the 3 seed. That would require Dartmouth and Brown wins. So kind of a long shot there. Cornell has 4 losses. 3 of them are by a goal this year. Notre Dame, Denver, and Penn. Jeez. The Big Red have one of the most deadly offenses in the sport right now. Dartmouth has a way of jumping on people early. They did it against Yale. They can come out of the gates just absolutely with their hair on fire and jump all over you. The question is, does Dartmouth have the horses to do that again and actually hold off the high-powered offense? Because they jumped out to whatever, 6-7-0 against Yale, and Yale still put up a 20 spot, I think, 19 or 20. So you need to be able to stop them too. I don't think I'd have Dartmouth holding off Cornell if that happens again. I'm going to say Dartmouth covers. I'm going to say they come out hot and they come out passionate and maybe they jump on them a little bit. I'm going to say Dartmouth stays within 9 goals, but Cornell's winning and hosting the Ivy League tournament. St. Bonaventure in Hobart. No stakes here. Nobody in this game can make their conference tournament. We are playing for pride. The Bonnies are a 5.5 goal underdog here at home. They've lost 5 in a row. Hobart also lost 5 in a row, but they played High Point to a 1 goal game just last week, so... They also played UMass to a 1 goal game this year. So they've put together some of these solid games when they need them against top opponents. They've just been on the wrong side of the scoreline when it's over. They win when you expect them to win. I expect them to win here. So I'm going to take Hobart in this one to end on a high note and to cover the 5.5. Richmond St. Joe's, the one seed A-10 conference supremacy is what's on the line here. The winner is the one and the regular season champ. The loser is the two seed. There's no hosting or bye to consider or anything like that. The A-10 tournament's at UMass this year. The regular season conference crown certainly is meaningful, obviously. St. Joe's has won 9 in a row. They are hot. They have covered in 4 in a row. In that winning streak, they were an underdog once, and they covered and won, obviously, outright against Penn. They're a 2.5-goal underdog here. Richmond's won 4 in a row. They have not been a great team against the spread. As the man who is perpetually way too high on St. Joe's, I am sticking to my brand. St. Joe's covers. St. Joe's wins outright. Give me the Hawks. Albany-Binghamton. This is another one where conference supremacy is on the line. With a win, Albany hosts the America East Tournament. They are in regardless, Albany is, I should say. The stakes for them, though, are hosting of the one seed. Binghamton with a win is in. They can feasibly, I think, still host if other results go their way. Albany is a 4.5-goal favorite. They won last week, but haven't won 2 straight since the end of March. They are winning close games against teams you might expect them to handle a little bit better. I've liked Binghamton's recent form, even if they lost a week ago, but they had won 4 straight before that. They've been playing well. I'm going to say they kind of recapture that in a big game here. I'm going to take Binghamton to cover. I think Albany's going to win, but I'm going to take Binghamton plus the 4.5. Marist, Siena. I haven't seen a line for this yet. For some reason, this one's just later than the others, I guess. Marist has won 4 in a row, including that win over Siena in that stretch. So this is a rematch of a game we've already seen once. Again, we're in first round of MAC tournament play here. They've had a bit of a rough March. When the calendar got to April, they really put things together. Siena, equally hot to close the year. They've won 4 of 5. The lone loss is to, as we said, to Marist here. That was a 1-goal game. With no line, I'm in the dark here. Siena's covered in 5 straight, 3 times as a dog, 2 as a favorite. I always tend to go with experience and senior-heavy teams come postseason time, come playoff time. Siena is that. They are senior-heavy. They are experienced. It pays dividends this time of year. It really is valuable. I'm going to take the Saints. I think this could be a really good game, though. Marist Siena could be a good one. And finally, the last game of the weekend, Utah and Queens. Take me to Queens at once. Utah is a 12.5-goal favorite. As we said, the Utes will be a top 3 seed in the A-Sun. The question is just where. With a win, they get a bye. If you think Queens is winning this game, I'd not going to say I agree with you, but we can talk through the scenario, I guess. Utah will end up, I think, as the 3 seed if they lose. Queens is a 6-game losing streak they're working on right now. Their last 2 came in overtime. They're battling. Utah on the 6-game winning streak, and they are playing, as we said, for the A-Sun position. They want to have that bye, man. You want to position... A-Sun is a one-bid league. Positioning yourself as best as you can to win that conference and get that one bid is key. They cannot take their foot off the gas, even against an inferior opponent. I think Utah is going to get themselves dialed. So I'm going to take Utah to handle their business in this one and win and cover even the gigantic 12.5-goal line. Give me the Utes. No Sunday games this week. After that Utah game on Saturday night, all the conference tournament fields, they will be set. If you need a primer for the weekend, again, the NLL weekend primer is up at sticksinlacrosse.com. Their conference scenarios are up at sticksinlacrosse.com. I will do my best to update those as the week goes on. So once teams lose and a certain scenario is no longer possible or whatever, then we'll cross it out and you will know to skip right by it and we'll iron out who's doing what. I hope your team, your favorite team, yes, you, your favorite team, has success this weekend and makes their tournament. Bubble season is here. Bracketology season is here. There's going to be some tough calls. There's basically 1 or 2, I think, tough calls that are looming for the bracket, but we'll know more about those and talk more about them as we get into the conference tournaments. For now, that's going to be it. Thank you for joining me today. I'm ready for an exciting weekend, and I hope you are too. Thanks for sticking around. See you next time.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.